What's up, you guys? I'm Haley.
And I'm Andrea.
And this is Inhuman, a true crime podcast. All right, so I don't think there's really any big true crime news or anything that's really happening, partially because this is the third episode we're recording today.
Yeah.
To be fully transparent with you guys, because of the Thanksgiving holiday, we're getting ahead a little bit.
Yeah.
But you guys will be listening to this after Thanksgiving, so if you celebrate, we hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving with your family. If you don't celebrate, we hope you had a wonderful weekend, and we'll just get into this episode. All right, so today we are going to be covering the super mysterious disappearance of 21-year-old Jason Landry. He's been missing for almost a year, and there has been no trace of him.
So crazy.
So I decided to cover him today because it's one that's been highly requested from my TikTok account. A lot of people have asked me to cover it, but I also heard about him a few months back, which is crazy to me that I didn't hear about it until then. But yeah. Since I've heard about him, his case has just stuck with me. And he was also mentioned on one of Crime Junkie's recent episodes, the one that Ashley Flowers covered. I think she called it like Missing Men from Their Car or something like that. So he was mentioned in that one.
Okay.
And it also reminds me a lot of Bryce LaSpezia's case, which if you haven't heard that one, Andrea covered his case on episode 25 of our podcast. You can go back and listen to that because it's scary how much similarity there is between the two.
Yeah.
All right. Jason David Landry was born to Kent and Lisa Landry on July 29th, 1999. He grew up in Missouri City, Texas, which is a city kind of just outside of Houston. Jason has two siblings, a brother and a sister, and they grew up in what is described as a very loving home. After graduating high school, Jason started college, and then in 2020, he transferred to Texas State University in San Marcos, Texas. He was a 21-year-old student working toward being accepted into the university's sound recording technology program.
Okay.
On December 13th, 2020, Jason had finished his first semester at the University of, or at Texas University, Texas State University? Texas State University, and he was headed home for the holiday break. It was about a two and a half-ish hour drive from the university to his hometown of Missouri City. So at 10:55 p.m., Jason headed out from his apartment in San Marcos, and we actually have a pretty detailed timeline of about the first half hour of his drive from cell phone and computer records, so I'm going to go through everything we know from this digital footprint.
Okay.
At 11:05 p.m., he was on Highway 80, passing under I-35 in San Marcos. 2 minutes later, at 11:07, he entered Caldwell County. At 11:11 p.m., he continued south on Highway 80, entering Martindale, Texas. And at 11:24 p.m., Jason entered Lulling, Texas on Highway 80. And at that point, he stopped using his Waze navigation app and opened the Snapchat app on his phone. He passed through the intersection of Magnolia Avenue and East Austin Street, and that's where his digital footprint stops.
Oh.
It's believed that after that, he continued on East Austin Street to Spruce Street, which turns into Salt Flat Road. And that is the road where Jason's wrecked car was found about an hour later. 67 minutes after Jason's last cell phone activity at 12:31 a.m. on December 14th, Jason's gray Nissan Altima was found wrecked on Salt Flat Road, which is a pretty rural road in Caldwell County, Texas. So it's a gravel street road. It has no lights, no buildings, no signs. It's basically a back rural road.
Was this his normal route back home, or was he taking a shortcut?
I could not find that.
Okay.
I believe that at least the beginning of it was. I saw a map of it, and to me, it kind of looks like he went, like he was going south, and then he almost went kind of north, but I didn't find anything that said that this was like a weird turn that he made, so I'm thinking that it was a route that he would be taking from the university back home.
Okay.
So the car was found by a volunteer fireman who had been walking through the area that night. When he found the car, he immediately contacted authorities. The car was found with its lights on and keys in the ignition with the front passenger door locked. So investigators believe that he had been in a single vehicle collision where he had basically overcorrected on the gravel road and spun off the roadway and crashed the back end of his car into a tree. And I'll post photos of the car on our Instagram so you can see the damage, but it did look pretty bad. The back bumper was destroyed and the back windshield looks like it was broken. And other parts of the car were messed up too. Like the front looked like it was, you know, dented and kind of, what's the word? Like the frame looked like it was messed up.
What, like, did he just run off the road and hit this? Or was it just...
So to me, it sounds like he's driving on a gravel road and
lost control
basically. Because if it's a gravel road and, you know, you could kind of like
overcorrect,
go back and forth a little bit.
Yeah,
exactly. And so it sounds like he overcorrected, spun out and hit a tree. And in some sources, I saw that there was like a wired fence too.
Okay.
But I only saw that in some sources. But yeah, it basically sounds like he accidentally just, you know, lost control, spun out, and hit a tree.
Okay.
But he was not found.
Right.
He was not in the car. So, Jason's phone was found between the driver's seat and the center console, and it was on, and it had signal. But it appeared to not be used at all since the intersection about an hour earlier when he had opened Snapchat.
Which is probably when he dropped it, and that does sound like... Was it Bryce's case that they found the phone? Or was it another case that they found the phone between?
Oh, I can't remember. I don't know.
I feel like there's like another case similar to this too.
I don't think it's Bryce's that where they found the phone.
Yeah, I don't think it is either. But I can't remember which one. I'm sorry.
I know. I can't either. But yeah. Also inside the car was Jason's backpack, wallet, some toiletries, and his tumbler. And inside of the backpack was some gaming equipment, like PlayStation equipment. And his dad later said that he was planning to play PlayStation with his friends when he came back. A laptop and also a small amount of marijuana. Some outlets were initially reporting that narcotics were found in the backpack, but the sheriff's office issued a press release saying, quote, "Any report stating that the backpack was filled with narcotics is inaccurate. The small amount of marijuana has been seized and is being held."
Wow, so, somebody really ran with that, didn't they?
Yeah. So it was a few marijuana joints that were found in the backpack, but no narcotics. It was just the marijuana joints, which...
He's in college. Whatever.
Is marijuana legal in Texas?
No.
No. So it's illegal, but...
It's not legal in most of the states, but that does not mean that people don't do it.
Yes. No, I know. Yeah. But it is legal in other states. So, like,
yeah.
Calm down, people.
Yeah. It's just weed.
At 2 a.m. on December 14th, Kent Landry, Jason's dad, got the phone call that every parent dreads. He was told his son's car was found wrecked, but his son was nowhere in sight. So Kent immediately got into his car and drove the 2 or 3 hour drive to the site. When Kent got to the scene, he said he was surprised that he did not see any searches happening. He had formerly been a defense lawyer, so he said he's seen plenty of crash scenes and was shocked that there was a lack of searches. He said, quote, "I got there at 5 a.m. and I was the only person looking for him."
Wow.
Around 7 a.m., Kent went to the lot to see Jason's car himself, and that's when he actually was the one that found the phone. After that, he was driving back down the road looking for Jason, and 900 feet from where the car was found, Kent found Jason's clothes. He found a t-shirt, shorts, underwear, socks, and a watch. And investigators do believe that these were the clothes that Jason was wearing that night. There's photos that were later released that he took that night, the night he went missing, and he is wearing the same shirt that his dad found.
Okay, that's reminding me of Daniel Robinson's case, yeah, because his clothes were found outside of his vehicle.
Yep. So Jason's dad also said that he knew the clothes were Jason's because, quote, he wears crazy socks, bright yellow, SpongeBob, and I knew those socks. So as I mentioned, the initial response from authorities was not the best. Kent Landry recalls how he was the only one searching, as I just mentioned, and the immediate response from the sheriff's office just did not seem very urgent.
That makes me so mad. Like, why? Mm-hmm. Because he's a guy? Because he's a college student? Like, why?
Yeah. And I mean, you'll see, but I feel like in this case, that could have made a huge difference.
Yeah.
So Captain Jeff Ferry of the Caldwell County Sheriff's Office, who actually became the lead detective on this case, later said that things early on were not done perfectly, saying, quote, there's no inventory conducted, the trooper does not go into the vehicle, the trooper does not place a hold on the vehicle, etc. So he definitely acknowledged, like, yeah, things weren't done the best.
Well, at least there's that, I guess.
The car and clothes were sent for forensic testing, and there was no DNA or blood evidence found in the car. A very small amount of blood was found on his clothing, and it was basically like a blood smear. Investigators don't believe that this is indicative of a serious injury, and they said that this an injury could have happened like as he was exiting the vehicle, maybe on a tree or that fence that some reports say, and then that caused the blood spot. But it was just like a really small blood spot. So it wasn't like, oh my gosh, there's all this blood, big injury. Like, it was a very small blood spot.
And he could have like cut his hand on glass or...
Exactly. Investigators also said there was no evidence that Jason was heading to meet with someone in the Loling area. And they've said that Jason's family, including his ex-girlfriend, have been very cooperative and helpful in the investigation. And at this point, there are no suspects or persons of interest that are believed to be involved in his disappearance. Evidence-wise, there is very little. So later on December 14th, search parties did come and they canvassed the area around the crash scene. They searched over, you know, the next weeks and months, woods, farmland, abandoned houses, and outbuildings for miles surrounding the scene. At this point, there have been 7 large-scale searches for Jason over 31,000 acres of land.
Wow.
And these have included hundreds of people, canines, horses, and even drones, but no sign of Jason has ever been found.
That is wild. It's just unbelievable. Unbelievable.
At one point, they even drained a nearby pond after search dogs traced Jason's scent to the pond, but nothing was found. Investigators have also reviewed hundreds of hours of security footage from in and around Loling, but they've never found anything with that. They also say that no one has come forward with any evidence, and they continue to ask for the public's help. Jason's father told Dateline, quote, you never know what piece of information will lead us to him. I stay awake every night trying to make sense of where he could be or what could have happened, but I can't. We need everyone's help.
That's so sad. And that's so true. I mean, he's absolutely right. One small thing that someone could have seen could be the...
Yeah.
thing that solves the case. You never know.
Exactly. Various bones have been found in the search for Jason, but they were all found to be animal bones, and other than that, nothing has been found in relation to him. In early October of this year, 2021, about 10 months after Jason disappeared, a new search effort surfaced. So this is basically a program that can try to find anomalies based on drone footage. Texas State criminology researcher Dr. Kim Rosmo, she's assisted investigators in pulling together all the drone imaging that has been done of the area through the various searches and putting it through a computer program that basically analyzes the images to look for color variations in the photos. So lead investigator Jeff Ferry said that the program can detect things you ask it to, like blue jeans. So you can say, look through all of this footage and look for something that is blue jeans, and it can detect that.
Oh, okay.
So since Jason was believed to be naked, they can't do that type of search, but they did begin looking for the color white to try to find any other bone fragments.
Okay.
Through this program, they've determined 86 points of interest where they believe he may be, so they'll now go back to determine if those are human remains or animal bones. And that's pretty much, like, the last update on that effort. There's no real update of, like, this is what's happened.
If they did it then. And they found anything.
Yeah.
Right. Wow. And when was that?
Like, mid-October. So it's been about a month.
Okay. A little over a month. So that's not, like, not too crazy, I guess.
Yeah. At this point, investigators don't believe that there's any evidence that a crime happened. They believe that Jason, who may have been dazed from the crash, walked off to go get help and somehow didn't survive. As I mentioned earlier, the road his car was found on was very deserted. It was a back road. There was no lights, no signs. So it could have been really easy for him to get lost looking for help.
Yeah.
But despite that sentiment from investigators, Jason's family isn't 100% convinced that that's what happened. According to a News Nation Missing in America piece about the case, quote, it's a mother's intuition telling her she'll one day have the answers she needs to be at peace. Mm. There is one newer theory that has come up recently that Jason was not alone at the time he crashed. So a man named Abel Penna, a former FBI agent, is working the case pro bono with a team at Project Absentis, which is his nonprofit organization. And he has said that after extensive interviews, he believes that Jason was not alone and that a second or third party could be involved.
Okay.
So he hasn't revealed what those interviews were exactly, but that's his working theory. And he said that he can't get cell phone records right now because to be able to get a search warrant for those, there has to be evidence of a crime. And right now, they don't have solid evidence of a crime. But he basically believes that getting a tower dump, which is pretty much a large-scale request of all the cell phone records in the area, could help see other cell phone activity in that area as a whole to try to prove that someone else was with Jason that night.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really great idea in theory, because, I mean, they could also see if there was anyone in the area that could have saw something, but how realistic is that to get that, you know? That should be easily accessible to investigators or whatever, but...
Right. So he's hopeful that he'll soon be able to get those records through circumstantial evidence, being able to get a search warrant. So he's still hopeful for that, and he's working on that. There are, of course, other theories that it was a drug deal gone wrong, that he ran into something he wasn't supposed to and somebody abducted him, or potential human trafficking. But honestly, I'm more on the side of investigators that he got into a crash, got out to find help, and got lost and either succumbed to hypothermia or some other injuries.
But where's his body?
Yeah. So one thing I couldn't find was the amount of animals in the area. Like, I'm wondering if something happened and then animals got to him. But if the search had been done right away, like if people had seen the crash and then started looking for him in the area, he may have been found alive.
Yeah, I mean, animals wouldn't have completely gotten rid of the remains in that small period of time.
And it's like you and I were talking about before we started recording today, Daniel Robinson, it's the same thing. It's like, even if animals got him, they don't hide all of the bones. Like, there has to be bones somewhere.
Right.
So it's the same in this case. But that's something I couldn't find, even, like, the amount of animals in the area. You know, there's a lot of farmland and woods and stuff, so I'm sure there are, but...
Right.
But, yeah, where are his bones? And if you had searched for him right after his car crashed and you found it...
Yep.
You might have found him. I'm also confused why he didn't call for help, because his phone was found with a signal. But who knows? You know, if his phone had fallen, maybe he couldn't get to
it.
And you also never know, he might have been dazed or something if he hit his head and just walked off to get help. But the taking off the clothes thing is what gets me. Because it's like...
That's not a rational thing. That indicates that there's,
some sort of brain injury. And... But again, then why wouldn't you find him? Like, even if he wandered off, he couldn't have wandered off that far.
Right.
So, but, you know, they are still investigating. They are still searching, but there's, like, no movement in the case. So there's currently a $10,000 reward put up by Jason's family and friends for any information leading to his safe return or the recovery of his body. He is described as being 6'1 and 170 pounds with brown hair, brown eyes, and facial hair. anybody with any information about Jason's disappearance can call the Caldwell County Sheriff's Office at 512-398-6777 or Detective Ferry directly at his extension 4516. You can also contact the private investigator Abel Penna at 210-954-1476. And there's also an anonymous tip line if you wish to remain anonymous at 726-777-1359. So I'll have all of those numbers along with email addresses for a couple of these. I'll put all of that in the show notes. But, I mean, something has to be found. Someone has to know something. So the more awareness we can spread about this and pressure we can put on police, the more likely they will find Jason.
I mean, I'm glad that they're, you know, continuing to look for him. At what capacity, I don't know. I mean, it's been almost a year. But it's just, it's so crazy to me that these people go missing from their vehicles. And especially if they're nude. Like, if anyone came across that, that would be a huge red flag.
Yeah.
Like, call it in to police, you know? Like, something's not right. Yeah. I just came across this nude man walking down the road or whatever. I don't know. It just makes no sense to me.
Me neither. So, that's all I have for you guys today. If you want to see photos or help share the missing posters, we'll share them on both our Instagram at @inhuman_podcast or at our Facebook group, which is called Inhuman, a True Crime Podcast. So you can go and help share those, help spread awareness. You know, like I said, the more pressure we can put on police, the more likely they will to continue this search and find him.
Yeah, I hope they get that phone dump or whatever they call it.
Yeah, tower dump, the cell phone
tower
records.
Dump, yeah, because I mean that could be super helpful. I mean, obviously they don't know exactly what time, but they have a pretty rough estimate, I would think.
It's 67 minutes that is between when his phone last pinged and his car was found. So that's not that much time.
Yeah, that's not that much time at all. Yeah, they should be able to definitely, if there was any other, I mean, because you said it was pretty rural.
I know. I can't say that word either. Rural.
So, I mean, there's probably not a ton of numbers, I would think.
Exactly.
But if there is anything, they should be able to quickly contact that person and find anything out if they saw anything. So.
Right. And I just don't get how there wasn't more of an urgent search. Like, you find a car crashed and nobody is inside of it.
Yeah,
and the lights are still on.
I'm looking at pictures of it, and it looks like the front and the back end of his vehicle is damaged.
Yeah.
So,
and, like, you know that it just happened, and it's not, like, some abandoned vehicle, because it was literally, the lights were still on, keys were in the ignition, like, why would you not go and immediately canvass the area? I know it was the middle of the night, but, like, that's not an excuse.
No, it's not at all.
Yeah. But that's all we have. I hope you guys keep listening. If you enjoy, be sure to leave us a rating and review. It helps us grow and reach more people, and we really appreciate all of our ratings and reviews, so be sure to go do that. And until next time, keep it human.
Bye.
Bye.